It's a common misconception that drinking 8 glasses of water a day is enough for healthy hydration. But sweat consists of water and sodium, which means you need water plus electrolytes to stay properly hydrated. Thankfully, there are products like Element that have all your electrolyte needs covered. You can try Element Recharge Sample Pack by going to drinkelement.com/speak for only the cost of shipping.
Welcome to Speak for Yourself. On this beautiful Friday,
it is.
Special things gonna happen today, especially tonight. Marcellus Wiley here in I'ma holla at your auntie suit, and Emmanuel Acho looking immaculate. Acho,
I'm feeling good, big dog. I said Bucks in 6. Unfortunately, it looks like Bucks in 7. But either way, it looks like the Bucks. So it's gonna be a good day.
Oh, really? That's what we're going with.
Where we going?
I want to go with the tie bar with your name on it, Emmy Acho. All right, let's get it started in Milwaukee. This boy got money, and the Bucks, and they bounced back last night with a huge win over the Nets to force a Game 7 tomorrow. Giannis and Chris Middleton combined for 68 points, and Milwaukee never trailed. Steve Nash said the Nets did not play well, and quote, it was just not our best game. So, Acho, did the Bucks prove they're the better team in Game 6?
They did, but let me start with this. Giannis, Ugo, Adetokounmpo, and
how many names? What y'all doing over there?
See, when he wins, I gotta call him by his Nigerian name. When my dog loses, he the Greek freak.
He the Greek freak.
But today, he's Ugo. I'm so proud of Giannis, and the Bucks did, in fact, prove they were the better team in Game 6. But here's the kicker. The Bucks have proven they are the better team the whole series. Now, there's a huge difference. They do not have the better players. Let's establish that. Don't have the better
in
players.
In this series?
But, yes.
The Bucks don't? Sure?
Kevin Durant, to me, is still the best player.
Duh,
best
in player. The world. But they
don't have the better players, but they have the better team. Or at least I'll give you this. They don't have the best player, but they have the better team. For y'all that are having a hard time digesting that like some cold food, let me break it down like this. Lakers 04 versus the Pistons. Lakers had Kobe and Shaq, better players. Pistons have the better team, 1-5. Remember?
You mean Karl Malone and them dudes?
Kobe and Shaq. It's Kobe and Shaq.
And then what? Being gay?
You still had Karl Malone. You still got
Icy Hot.
But I'm saying better players, right? You had the superstars. The Pistons only had, they had Chauncey. They had Rip. They had Big Ben. They had Shee. They had Tayshaun. But they had a better team. So if y'all can't digest what I'm talking about, go back to the old school and recalibrate your minds.
Boom.
Now, yes, they proved they were the better team because when you talk about team, it's about collective functionality.
Ooh.
It's about the collection of the parts.
Ooh.
What are y'all all doing in congruence together?
Ooh.
And finally, everybody played their part. What was the difference in this game? Two people, Drew Holiday, 43 minutes.
Give it up, give it to me.
How can a one-legged James Harden play 46 minutes in Game 5, Drew Holiday, and you only play about 34 minutes or so? That made no sense. So it's good to see you now healthy come out here and play 43 minutes to James Harden's 40 or so minutes. Get that up. That's a better team. That's somebody playing their part. PJ Tucker, you played 33 minutes Game 5. You played 34 minutes Game 6, but it wasn't the amount you played. It's when you played.
Oh.
Because in Game 5, when you checked out, KD went crazy. Late second quarter, early third quarter, KD got in his bag. And by the time you checked back in late third quarter, it was too late. KD was already in full flight cruise control. So, riddle me this, big dog. PJ Tucker had a plus 30 plus or minus and only scored 3 points.
He played
football.
You
got a plus 30 plus or minus and you only scored 3 points?
I don't know. By far.
The highest plus minus on anybody on the Bucks starting lineup, anybody on the Bucks team, and he only scored 3 points. PJ playing his part. Everybody on the Bucks are playing their parts, and it sounded yesterday like a beautiful symphony, all playing in harmony. Giannis realized this, and people said he's not Batman, he's Robin. He's playing his part.
What's his part? Batman or Robin?
What's his part?
He the Joker?
Nope. Giannis's part is the opener.
The opener.
Chris Middleton is the closer.
What movie is that?
It's sports. It's not movies anymore. Okay. Y'all got to understand the Bucks know what they're doing finally. Giannis is like, you know what? My 2 points count just like KD's 2 points.
Yeah.
Now, KD gets more credit for hitting a turnaround fadeaway over PJ Tucker's face than I do for hitting a layup on Jeff Green. But either way, 2 points is 2 points.
Mm.
Giannis has realized, you know what? I'm going to be the opener. I'm not even going to try to be the closer. I'm not going to try to hit 3-point shots. That's not what I can do right now. So I've realized, let me live within my limitations. The Bucks proved they were the better team, but the Bucks have always been the better team. Now they just finally use the pieces that they have to work in congruence to show exactly what they're capable of.
Man, that was a lot of good gumbo. Like, you had some gumbo before?
You enjoyed it.
I loved it. I loved it. But you got to close your eyes because you don't know what the hell you're getting. Grandma just said, just eat it, boy, damn it. You just crawdads and crab legs. It was good. You're wrong, but it was good. And this is why I know you're wrong.
What?
And I know you know you're wrong.
No. Talk
because
to me.
Because you had so many collection, what did you say, collection of parts, mm-hmm. collective uh-huh. agreement and all congruency.
Yes,
and all of that was window dressing to the fact that this team has better players playing in this series. Think about it.
Okay.
Let's look at it in a vacuum. I'm going to start here. Kevin Durant's the best player in this series, right? But mm-hmm. then after Kevin Durant, if you're talking about health, you're talking about impact, you're talking about actually playing, it starts to look Milwaukee's way in terms of those players, just like last night. But that doesn't mean that they have this series. Matter of fact, they proved to me yesterday, oh, y'all are lucky them other boys are hurt because y'all are not the better team. Let's take this away. They're at home last night, correct?
Mm-hmm.
It takes a career high from Chris Middleton at home to pull this off in the playoffs. Okay. Also, it takes the most points from Jrue Holiday in the postseason this year to pull this off. And what did they pull off? Up 5 in the fourth quarter with just KD, who got P.J. Tucker, the linebacker, playing on him. And James Harden got one leg left. And Kyrie ain't nowhere in the building, so you can say the N-word. I mean, all I know is...
I hate you so much.
Dog, what is wrong with Milwaukee? Like, I'm looking at this team like, yeah, y'all won. Y'all should win, and y'all should be winning by way more. The league gets cut to 5 twice in the second half. And all we see is Chris Middleton saying, let me hit my free throws.
Bang, bang.
Let me hit my shots. Giannis is supposed to be the guy for this team. But it's okay. I take the role reversal. But here's the problem.
What's the problem?
There's also going to be a location reversal. And the home team wins every single game in this series. Let's talk about those two guys, Batman, Robin, or according to you, they're not even in movies anymore. I don't know what the hell they are. Chris Middleton at home, 53% from the field. What are you doing in Brooklyn, bro? I ask you.
32%. Those are Acho numbers. Playing basketball, too.
50% from 3 at home. What are you doing in Brooklyn, bro?
Acho numbers, 26%.
I can keep killing them. Point is, he's going to kill himself once he go back to Brooklyn. Something ain't right at that hotel. Something ain't right in that commute. So Giannis, he plays actually better over there, but since the roles are reversed, who cares if Giannis is going to be better? Because Giannis ain't clutch. They know damn well if they got to, they're going to hack a Giannis. And they know also that Giannis doesn't even want to be in a position to be hack a Giannis. I'm sorry to say, man, I got more layers. But right now, at the top, this team is not even compromised. And they still playing like the worst team.
Preparing to undress your argument if you do not.
You have 3 seconds to comply.
go. Let me start here.
All right.
You told me that James Harden at 70% is better than Chris Middleton and Jrue Holiday.
I lied.
You retract that statement.
Crow. Okay. Give me to the big board. Let me apologize.
Okay.
Statement is retracted.
That's
so I have no beef with
but
you.
But hold on. No. I'm sorry. Let me. He ain't 70%, so I am right. He had
30, 40%, okay. Dog. This dude is
limp. Whatever.
But, you know, I'm with you.
Put that to the side.
Okay.
Let me talk about Jrue Holiday and Chris Middleton balling. Big-time players make big-time plays in big-time games.
Facts.
Right? Paul George, he had 37, 15, and 5. Most in Clippers history to have those types of numbers. All highs for Paul George, but big-time players, big-time plays, big-time games. Kevin Durant, 49, 17, and 10.
Okay.
Big-time players, big-time plays, big-time games.
All of
I don't necessarily look at those as extreme outliers, but they fit the moment. Outliers for their careers, but I think normalities within the moment. So Chris Middleton and Jrue Holiday balling, let me just address that. But here's the biggest point. Everybody at home, I know y'all thinking what Marcellus said.
Yep.
The Bucks are lucky that the Nets got hurt.
Facts.
It's not luck. And here's why. I'm going to give you a quote by our friend, the great philosopher Lil Wayne. He said this.
Weezy at that.
He said this. Well, ain't it sunny in the summer? What that mean, big dog? Of course the Nets got hurt. You knew they were going to get hurt.
Who did?
Because they always get hurt. We can't act ignorant to the fact that Kyrie and James Harden get hurt or Kevin Durant when those players are always hurt. Sal, if you go on an official visit to the University of Texas in the middle of the summertime and then you commit to the University of Texas, don't complain when it's hot in the fall.
Hell no.
You knew it was going to be
hot. Toasty out that sucker.
If you go on a visit to Columbia
and you commit to Columbia, don't complain when it starts snowing, big dog. You knew it was going to snow. So as for Nets fans and those at home that are like, well, the Bucks are lucky that the Nets are hurt. You knew they were going to be hurt. Factor that into the equation. So I don't factor in the fact that the Nets are hurting the Bucks being lucky. That's a part of the makeup and the chemical makeup and the DNA of the structure of the Brooklyn Nets. Now, the real thing I see is this.
Yeah. So that is fact, and I'm waiting. I'm sitting here like, wait a minute. The weather in Texas, I know it's going to be like that.
Matter of fact, it's actually flipped this year.
If it's hot right now, though.
I know.
If you ever go home, though, you would notice it was a bad winter, but you don't go home.
I'm here doing a show with you.
Oh, okay. Do what you want to do.
Home. The biggest thing is that we all have to take away from all this is this. Giannis is understanding his role, and I'm not going to fault him for that. We've argued off camera.
Lower the bar.
We and Sal argue all the time off camera, America, about this. Well, when Kevin Durant showed up, Steph Curry realized he wasn't the best player on the team and he had to relegate his duties to Durant.
Smart dude.
I said, maybe. Maybe that is true.
Ain't no maybe.
Or maybe Steph Curry had the wisdom and the wherewithal to say, I've won two MVPs, but in this moment, for the betterment of the team, I'm going to defer to a guy who can get it done as well in Kevin Durant. Or maybe get it done better. Giannis, similar to Steph Curry, I've won two MVPs regular season, but for the betterment of the team, I'm going to defer to a guy who can get it done just as well, if not better. Look at the scoring by half. We got the full screen. First half, Giannis does exactly what Middleton does. They both give you 19 points, 19 points, 19 points. Mm-hmm. Second half, Giannis says, you know what?
What do you say?
I'm going to defer to the guy who can get it done as well, if not better.
Were you there? Did
Chris
you hear
Middleton,
that?
Go ahead and get it done. Okay. We didn't have to hear it because we saw it. Your actions speak so loud, I can't hear what you're telling me. We didn't have to hear it, Sal. So I think the Bucks, I know the Bucks are the better team, but now the issue is they're playing like the better
team. If they the better team, how come when they were fully loaded? Brooklyn was never fully loaded. I mean, 1 minute into the game, then Harden went down, but they still won that game. Then the next game they win, and then Kyrie goes down, and then all of a sudden, that's when the losing starts for the Brooklyn Nets. Just tell me, when they were loaded, not fully loaded, loaded, how come they couldn't beat them then? You know why? Because they're not better than them. That's part one. Two, what's his full name for real?
Giannis, Nigerian name or Greek
Nigerian
name? Changed it. Giannis Ugo Adetokounmpo.
Giannis Ugo.
Ugo.
Okay, Ugo.
Adetokounmpo.
Okay, yeah. Acho, Emmanuel, Ugo. You go somewhere with that weak-ass take you keep giving me about these damn Bucks. These suckers got 4 points off the bench. I don't want to hear it. Giannis shoots 35% from the free throw line when he's in Brooklyn. What's going to happen to the guy who you say deferred, even though he's a two-time MVP? When the last time you heard a two-time MVP say, I'm going to defer? Never. You know what happens? Steph Curry, and now Giannis realizes, that dude better than me. And Chris Middleton ain't even better than him. That's the point. This is like the lesser of the two evils. Which one of us is just going to be the guy that you can depend on the most, even though you can't depend on me all the way? Chris Middleton is a baller. I love Chris Middleton. But if you think that's going to be the road to a championship and he's going to be the leader, you're fooling yourself. Kevin Durant and these guys are going to go out there and play. And I said these guys for a reason. I'm not even going to clown Jeff Green because he had a tremendous game and then he had a five-point game. We already know. Joe Harris. Anybody seen the three-point shot leader from the regular season?
Joe
Harris, who shot 47.5% from the three-point line, is now 0 for Joe. Where in the hell is 0 for Joe? All they need is Jeff Green. Somewhere between your highs and your lows, just be. You're going to be in Brooklyn. It's going to happen. All we need for Joe Harris is to stop. Listen to this stat. His last 27 three-point attempts and Ben Simmons' last 27 three-point attempts. Guess how many they both have made? 5. Why are you in a conversation with Ben Simmons and shooting if you're the best shooter in the game? Point being, as you always tell me, law of averages. Jeff Green's going to go back to his average. Joe Harris going to get out this slump. Come on, Ofer Joe. Get out the slump and go average. And all of a sudden, Brooklyn going to shine, even though they're not fully loaded. Coming up, will Playoff P make an appearance tonight? We'll tell you how much faith we have in Paul George. Playoff P! Closing out the series. That's next on Speak for Yourself. Ugo. Getting recommendations from your friends for that perfect diet might be a big waste of time. The real answer is already within you, your genes. What are the best foods based on your DNA? What foods have the nutrients that you need? How quickly do you metabolize caffeine and alcohol? Don't guess. Use the code Speak for Yourself for $20 off a Geno Palette DNA kit. Find out how to eat
for your jeans.
Let's get to Big Bro Celis' Clippers.
So they can advance to the conference finals for the first time. You heard me, the first time in franchise history if they beat the Jazz tonight. I just saw Rudy Gobert on the street yesterday, by the way.
Like that?
Kawhi Leonard is out with a knee injury, so PG, Paul George, will have to step up again. Now, George has scored over 30 points in each game during the Clippers' three-game winning streak. So, Sam!
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
How much faith do you have in Paul George to execute a, what is this, a gangster sweep?
What's this is a grown man sweep.
A grown man
you
sweep.
You want gangster sweep. You wanted to go seven, but it ain't going to happen. This is grown man time. How much faith do I have? As much faith as I have in my wife, Anna Marie. See, I'm going to box you in because you can't come out of that. What joke you got coming back my way? Now, that's a lot more faith than she has in me. But and probably that's your take. But here's the thing. I'm looking at, let me say it like me and my daughter say it, Playoff P, to shut y'all up. And he's shutting his critics and naysayers up so much, one of them couldn't even show up to work yesterday. And I'm looking at him, Emmanuel Acho, where were you, bro? Apologies accepted, because I told you about this team. 4-2, 4-2. What we do is let you get two. We spot you two. No, go ahead and have that, homie. And then go ahead and have that, homie. And then all of a sudden, wah, 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 wah. And we snatch these cats. We did it to Dallas. We're doing it to Utah tonight. And we are not fully activated, but you know what is? Staples Center. And last time I checked, Staples Center rocks the loudest, the liveliest when the Clippers are in town. Now, people go to Laker games like you, and you say, oh, I saw Rudy Gobert on the street. You know, y'all go up in there, and y'all wear your fancy watches, stay on your phones, and act like you somewhere. You go to a Clipper game, we will rock, yeah. And that's what we're going to do, because Playoff P, 14-9 without Kawhi Leonard in the last couple of years, including 7-5 this season. Why do I bring that up? Because people act like it's an anomaly, like, oh, what out? Kawhi, they can't win. Well, we actually have a great winning percentage without Kawhi, as long as Playoff P is in the building. And also, a compromised Utah team. I ain't gonna lie. I know that Donovan Mitchell is trying to push through this and plow through this for this game-time decision. I know Mike Conley gonna try and play tonight. I know all these things gonna happen, chips all in. But the problem is, when you try to put those chips in, you're gonna realize you're in Clip City, Chip City, and it's a problem.
Mm. I like that take strong. You prepped all day for that.
But that one take.
I have 33% confidence in Paul George.
What stats you got with that?
I have no stats.
Man. Yes, you do. You no always stats. Pick this.
I got 33% confidence, and here's why, Sal. What we haven't realized, and it's unfortunate, is the Clippers are playing with a big three. And they have every game this series.
Compliments.
Because Marcus Morris, he gave you, what, 24 points? Your boy Reggie Jackson gave you mid-20 points again.
Such a beast.
Then the game before that, Marcus Morris hit you with the 20s again. Game before that, Reggie Jackson hit you with 29 points. The Clippers are playing with a big three. So, Paul George, I don't necessarily have confidence that he will close it out, but I do have confidence that the Clippers will close it out. We just have to figure out who we're going to give all the credit to. Oh. I think the Clippers are going to close it out because they are playing with literal pieces balling right now.
Oh.
We slept on Marcus Morris, just like we slept on Jeff Green when he had 27 points, 1-7-8 from three, because Kevin Durant gave you 47, 17, and 10. Mm. So, we forgot any other player existed. Paul George has played marvelously, but it's not really Paul George necessarily in isolation that's getting the job done. It's the fact that he's getting 50 points from his next two best players. Ooh. On average in the series, he's getting 33 points from the combination of Reggie Jackson plus Marcus Morris. Now, the truth or the thesis statement of my take is I have more faith that the Jazz will give it up than I have that the Clippers will close it out.
Mm.
You talked about this 2 days ago on the show. More games are lost than are won. At least that's the quote from Bill Belichick in regards to NFL football. I think that also applies to NBA playoff basketball. I think the Jazz will lose this game. Donovan Mitchell, as you said, is hurt. Yeah. And more than he's hurt, he is falling each and every game. Statistically speaking, y'all got the full screen. He goes from shooting 53% to 51% to 45% to 34% to 31%. He goes from his plus or minuses to being way high to all of a sudden drastically dipping worse and worse and worse and worse and worse. So I'm not putting my faith in PG closing it out as much as I am putting my faith in the Utah Jazz faltering. We didn't believe in the Jazz in the first place. We just all assumed it was going to be the Lakers that were going to dismantle the Jazz. Remember, over the course of the season, when the Jazz were the one seed, those Lakers fans and most NBA analysts who assumed the Lakers healthy would go all the way were like, okay, Lakers are going to have to beat the Clippers at best because the Jazz, they don't have any experience. Their best player, Donovan Mitchell, he's only 25, 24 years of age. So the Jazz are still probably a couple years away. So we knew we had doubts about the Jazz. We just foresaw a different L.A. team being the contender. Mm. Now that it's the Clippers, doesn't change my feelings about the Jazz whatsoever.
It doesn't change your feelings whatsoever. Ooh, I don't know if this is the same Acho I knew 2 days ago, because that Acho was telling me how great Donovan Mitchell is as a scorer. Donovan Mitchell. Oh, 30 plus. You know he's minus 22 for this series? And sixth man of the year, Jordan Clarkson, with his tucked in braids in his headband, he's minus 45 through game five. I wonder why that happened. Because you kept telling me how good they were until they faced these Clippers. You know why? Because you don't get enough respect to not only what our names are, even without Kawhi, but our game in terms of playing both sides of the ball. Let's talk about this, because you showed a full screen where Donovan Mitchell and his plus minus continues to erode, correct? Damn, is anybody else we face and they continue to erode, especially in fourth quarters by the name of, I don't know, Luka Doncic? We do this to people, bro. We make them bleed slow, and then you just sit there and then just evaporate on the damn court. We are a machine right now, and I'm not even hyping up these Clippers. They just so deep. I've always said that. We have a dynamite duo. Now it's just a single. But we got a collection of players. We're the deepest team with the best cherries on top. And now you're starting to see that. How do you see it also? Let me give you this one. PG, come on, man. One of three players that average 29-9-4 right now in the second round. Durant and Embiid. Ballers. Okay, let's talk about PG. First player in Clippers history to score 20 points or more in 12 consecutive playoff games. He scored 20 or more in every single playoff game. Everybody can't say that. PG in his last three games, let's talk about it, 33-9-5. Playoff, why is that still a thing with ridicule? This dude is an absolute baller.
I'm about to hijack this segment, and it's going to run you hot. But as you were talking, Sal, I realized this.
What, I spit on you?
Maybe that. But in the same manner that the bubble positively affected and impacted the Lakers, this condensed season has positively affected and impacted your Clippers. And I don't think there's a denying in this.
Is this vote to death?
I haven't heard this take yet. I'm coming up with it on the spot.
I can tell. You ain't even thought about it.
No.
I'm about to throw this table up on you, bro.
Listen to
me. Don't do this.
The majority of athletes, including LeBron James, plus NBA analysts have also said, and I think yourself, have been all admitted this. This playoffs isn't as much about talent as it is a war of attrition.
Okay, that's facts.
It's a war of attrition.
Okay, I'm with you.
Luka, he battled injuries. Chris Paul, he battled injuries. LeBron James, he battled injuries. Anthony Davis, battled injuries. Joel Embiid, battled injuries. Kawhi Leonard, battled injuries. Spidey Mitchell, battled injuries. Everybody, James Harden, battled injuries. Kyrie Irving, battled injuries. Everybody, all the star players battling injuries. So who does that benefit? This playoffs, this a war of attrition.
A
it
team?
Behooves the deepest team. So
is that a negative?
It's not a slight at all. It's an awareness, right? It's an awareness. Remember the Lakers, Anthony Davis, man, he can't get right. So the bubble giving him 4.5 months off, it allowed us to be convinced that the Lakers were the best team when in fact they weren't. They were playing in a very unique circumstance.
Okay.
This shortened condensed season is a very unique circumstance.
This one as well?
This one we're playing in right here, right now. It's a very unique circumstance. You talked about it yesterday with Armstrong and with Slick Rick.
Yeah.
LeBron James come out here and say, I tried to tell y'all shortened season. I know you may not have necessarily agreed with his logic.
He didn't agree with it. It was wrong.
But
he's talking about a 0.3% bump in a corona year.
Statistically speaking, there is still a bump. Statistically speaking, we know the season was condensed. And as a result, the Clippers are a beneficiary of a war of attrition. It's not necessarily the most talented teams. It's the deepest team. So congratulations to y'all for being a deeper team than the Utah Jazz. I just wanted to make you aware as to why y'all are doing what y'all are doing so you don't believe the lie that a lot of Lakers fans believed about Anthony Davis.
Well, you're not going to take away my ring we don't have yet and trying to make it a Mickey Mouse ring like the one you do have. We're not going to go into the bubble rings, but that was an asterisk season. You could call this one an asterisk season, but you got to give me some evidence. And right now, I don't know where you were yesterday, but it sounded like you were with LeBron.
I watched.
You were with LeBron watching, and LeBron said, hey, man, I need some help on this one because all I'm talking about is a 0.3% bump. And LeBron tried to stand on this. One, this season, if any season, guys should have been in better shape. I give it to you why.
Please.
Last year, they played up until March 11th.
Yes, sir.
Then they had 5 months off to come back for 6 weeks. And then they had another couple months off, right?
Uh-huh.
Add that up. Is that more of an offseason than normal?
Right, I got something for you. I got
you
something
better have something for me because you got to take it back to the
heard
bar.
This. I heard this.
Oh, you ain't hearing from me?
No, I heard this. Who did I don't know. I was watching this show.
And then LeBron signs on to a season that's 10 games shorter. And then now that he's out, he wants to say he hurt. You know what's funny about it?
What?
Every single year, somebody or many are hurt. Where's Steph been of late? Where's Klay been of late? Here's another thing. Talent ain't the reason why teams win championships. Not exclusively.
Talent and chemistry.
Oh, hold on. And depth. That's the point. So, hold on. Now you want to reprioritize important based on the season.
No, sir.
But hold on. The most talented teams don't always win the championship. If that's the case, why did Miami Heat with the big three ever lose one?
I said talent and chemistry.
And depth.
No. Talent.
Oh, depth
doesn't matter. The Mavericks won because Jason Terry, Jason Kidd, Dirk Nowitzki, and you can say Tyson Chandler. You want to talk about the Heat team?
Why did Spurs win?
Talent and chemistry. Three Hall of Fame players. Four Hall of Fame players, Hall of Fame coach.
And hold on, if your numbers keep adding up, that means depth.
No, talent.
Hall of Fame players are just Hall of Fame.
Hold on, you try to say Cassidy come off the bench?
I'm saying, why did the Spurs win? Because Manu, because Tony.
They didn't have the most talented people you drafted.
They didn't have the most talented. What, everybody was on that hill at the top or under it? Kawhi
talent,
going up, or are they coming down that hill?
Talent and chemistry. Lakers. You
love
how
you try to
reshuffle.
You're trying to rename draw fours. It's okay. It's a new card in Nuno. It's that blank one. That's what you're playing with right now.
You're telling me that the Miami Heat, that the Golden State Warriors, that the Lakers last year won because of depth?
Hold on. Last year, they won because they got a break. They ran they had to run a 400 and ran 300 and had 5 months off.
Correct.
And had the last 100. That's not the same situation. But if you talk about teams, what you need to construct a team, it's not talent and talent alone. It's not depth and depth alone. You got to have an ingredient of all those. But now you're going to point out something that we did correctly and team building and make it a slight.
I'm not making it a slight.
So
what I'm saying is typically depth is not 80% of the factor in which you win a championship. But what we're seeing right now, and obviously 80 is an arbitrary number, but typically depth does not weigh as heavily into winning a championship.
Hold on, we're missing Kawhi. We're missing Serge Ibaka. And you over here trying to tell me that we benefiting from something? Dog, we would be laughing at these kids out there if we
don't. Your hat Kawhi was down 0-2, sir.
Yeah, but guess what? That's what we do. We sign that up.
Kawhi, let me ask you this, because I heard this. Now, I'm interested in your take.
Okay.
You've always said that it's easier to run 300, stop, and run a 100. But let's put this in terms that everybody can understand.
Okay.
I would rather run 5 miles, rest, run another 5 miles, than have to run 10 miles straight.
Who wouldn't?
Great. So last year's bubble was 5 miles, rest, another 5, or you can call it 2 miles. This year's season.
You can't call it 6 weeks anything.
This year's season, though, Stale, has been just running it all straight. So I don't know, because it wasn't you. It was another analyst who
tried to
make the equivalent of, well, this season is actually easier than last season because you had 4.5 months off, then you played 2 weeks. I'm like, bruh. Just because you had a break and had to go back, that's actually easier than having to do the whole thing straight.
I thought it was bad when LeBron said that we can't see our best players play, but still I see CP3 out there. I still see Devin Booker out there. I still see Paul George. There's a lot. Kevin Durant. But it's funny. LeBron can't let it go that he got an offseason for real this time because he ain't deep. And now you can't let it
Wait a second.
You try to put some
loss
on the fact that my team may win it.
But LeBron is not incorrect in saying you can't see the best players play. First team All-NBAs last year. Anthony Davis. LeBron James. James Harden wasn't far behind. Those are the best players.
Yeah, and they also got beat. They got beat. LeBron wasn't hurt. He may have been playing like he hurt, and he don't want to sit there on the bench when they getting killed, but he ain't hurt. He got knocked out. Luka wasn't hurt. He got knocked out. Keep talking, first team NBA. Anybody? Coming up, big problems could be brewing in Dallas and on this set if you try to take away my Clippers dream before we get it. We'll tell you if the Mavs are giving Luka Doncic too much power. Next on Speak for Yourself. Man, stop. Tomorrow on Fox, the Cardinals take on the Braves. The White Sox battle the Astros, and the Reds face the Padres. It's all starting 7 Eastern on Fox and the Fox Sports app. Check local listings for the game in your area.
And speaking of baseball, tomorrow, don't miss your chance to win $1,000 of Big Poppy's money during the Cardinals-Braves game on Fox. Download the free-to-play Fox Bet Super 6 app and answer 6 questions about innings 7, 8, and 9 for your shot to win. Now let's get back to the NBA. Rick Carlisle resigned as the Mavericks head coach after 13 seasons. The day after the team parted ways with longtime president Donnie Nelson. Reports say there have been, quote, simmering tension between Carlisle and superstar Luka Doncic. And keep in mind, Luka is in line for a Supermax contract extension that could be worth over $200 million. Joined now by Fox NBA analyst Slick Rick DeBuecher, who was cheating on us for Colin. But anyway, but Acho, are the Mavs giving Luka too much power?
Entirely too much power. Luka Doncic is an incredible talent. We've compared him to the combination of Magic Johnson plus Larry Bird all in one athletic figure. But here's a kicker. Luka hasn't won anything yet. And with these young modern-day stars, we're starting to give them too much power before they actually win things. Not display individual talent, but win things. Remember Dwayne Wade's third year in the NBA when he won the NBA championship and won a finals MVP? Remember LeBron James' fourth year in the NBA when he led his team to the finals with a bunch of no-names around him? Luka has yet to win a playoff series. Not saying that it is Luka's fault, but just understand, of the stars that are 25 and under, guys like Trae Young, he's won a series. Devin Booker, he's won multiple series. Jamal Murray, he's won a series. Spidey Mitchell, he's won a series. Jason Tatum, he's won a series. Then you look at Luka, and you can't blame Luka because he balls. But you know what they say, let he who is without sin cast the first stone. Luka, you are not without blemish, sir. You are amazing. So amazing through the first three quarters that we turned a blind eye or two to your fourth quarter. But if we really were to open up our eyes to your fourth quarter, we'd see maybe, just maybe, Luka, you still have more to give before you start calling for people or at least having such tension with people that they should be fired. The last thing I'll say and I'll make y'all think with is this. Luka, I believe, is looking for his Doug Collins when he needs to be looking for his Phil Jackson. Remember Michael Jordan's third year in the league, he gets Doug Collins. Michael Jordan, his third year in the league, he has 37 points per game on average. His fourth year in the league, he has 35 points per game on average. Individually, Jordan was balling. But those were the highest he ever hit in his career at 23 and 24 years of age, respectively. Wasn't the most talented Jordan had ever been, but that head coach allowed Jordan to be Jordan. Then Phil Jackson came in. We all watched The Last Dance. Phil Jackson comes in. Look, if you want to win titles, it can't be all about you. Jordan never saw 37 points per game again in his career. Never nearly saw that on average. But he saw a whole bunch of championships. I think Luka's been given too much power, and I think he might desire the wrong thing at this current stage in his career.
Strong take, Acho, strong take. And I do believe that there is a tremendous amount of power being given to players before they are proven. However, in this instance, I cannot agree with you because of what the Dallas Mavericks have been without Luka Doncic. Fair. What they have been since 2011, when they kind of tricked their way into winning a championship because they took advantage of their experience and a Miami Heat cake that wasn't quite baked, fully baked. So, since then, they have not gotten out of the first round. And if it was not for the arrival of Luka Doncic, they'd be on a five-year run of not making the playoffs whatsoever. When I look at what the Rick Carlisle-Donnie Nelson combination has accomplished over the last 10 years, I am going to side with the talent because the talent wins and winning cures all. And Doncic has demonstrated that he is capable of that. Behind all of these stories is the fact that, yeah, there's been conflict, but there's been rub. But Carlisle has conceded to Doncic. That's what the stories were, that he had conceded. And there's a question of just how much Bob Vulgaris, the analytics guy, how much he had to do with Luka Doncic being acquired in the first place. If I look at everything that transpired prior to Luka Doncic's arrival, there's nothing there for me to say that they are making the wrong decision in banking on Doncic as opposed to Carlisle Nelson.
Yeah, I'm with you, Slick. You got to keep things in perspective. So, no, I don't think that they're giving him too much power. Let him have his say right now, because if you think about power and this power dynamic, the Dallas Mavericks organization, no one will outrule Mark Cuban. Think about it. We're talking about the most active owner in sports. So just by his presence alone,
checks and balances are in place. You talk about Bob Vulgaris and whatever his role is. Trust me, I know one of his roles. You're the bad cop. You sit there courtside as you did one time and tell Luca and the boys, calm down. And Luca snapped at him. And he looked at him like, you don't know who I really am. I'm going to tell you who he is. Mark Cuban keeps the gun. He keep the strap on him. You ain't going to see it under that T-shirt or wherever he working out at and always doing his interviews. But my man Bob Vulgaris, oh, he got that knife, that itty-bitty, too. Because he's sitting there like, oh, don't let none of this fool you, Luca. I am the one that's going to have to be the bearer of all bad news. So what Luca's going to get caught up in is what I call a fool's gold flex. And then if you've ever been the man anywhere, and I've been there a couple of times, oh, ownership will allow you to have your say, have your vote, have your way to a point. Think about it. The only people who don't understand what I'm talking about right now was like, what are you saying, Warsaw? What are you talking about? Luca's going to be the man. He's going to have full say. Nuh-uh. Only people who don't own anything in this world think that somebody else is going to have full say over what they own. You're renting and leasing your life away. Let me tell you why Luca ain't going to have full say and full control or any power for real. Because Michael Jordan couldn't get it, damn it. And Michael Jordan tried. LeBron James couldn't get it, and he tried. LeBron done moved all around the country 12 times trying to get full power, and he's not been able to get it because they don't give it up. So, Luca, you want to go out there with your fool's gold flex and act like, yeah, this is my team. It is, to a point. Until that T-shirt man and that little dude with the little bitty knife shows up, and you're going to realize who you really are, Luca. Staying in the NBA, Bucks next Game 7 featured on the free-to-play Fox Bet Super 6 app. Download the app and answer 6 questions about tomorrow's game for your shot to win $1,000. Coming up, got a Game 7. We'll tell you if the Bucks or Nets will win tonight. That's next on Speak for Yourself.
The Bucks were in a must-win situation last night, and boy, did they take care of business behind a combined 68 points from Giannis and Chris Middleton. Game 7 is tomorrow in Brooklyn, and the home team has won each game in this series. But last night, Giannis said, quote, we're built for this moment. It's as simple as that. He probably didn't even say it that intimidating. Oh, well. Rick is back with us. That's slick, Rick Bucher. But Sal, who wins Game 7, Bucks or Nets, and why?
I'm going with the Brooklyn Nets. And why? Because they have the best player. Why? Because they're playing at home. And why? As Slick Rick educated me on my roots yesterday, because God is on their side. That's right. The basketball gods are on their side. Because ain't no damn way God going to let this Brooklyn team go down in flames when he knows how compromised they are. You guys know how God rolls. God says, have faith in me. And you say, okay, God, now show me. He said, I said, have faith in me. You say, show me, God. He said, I said, have faith in me. Now I ain't going to say nothing. And then the devil just takes over the world because the devil's always working in the world. He the one out there straining hamstrings. He the one making people step on feet and sprain their ankles. And then you sitting there like, but God, I do believe in you, but why is this happening? And then finally God said, all right, I saw you believe enough. And that's going to happen tonight. Also, Giannis at the free throw line, because they're going to hack a Giannis. He's shooting 35% in Brooklyn from the free throw line. So don't give me anything else. But this team showing up in Brooklyn in this compromised version, because Chris Middleton doesn't travel well to Brooklyn, and Giannis, you don't travel well at the free throw line, and that's going to be the recipe for disaster. So pay your tithes, because it's over tonight. The gods have spoken. Brooklyn Nets win.
To be clear, I referenced God in regard to the Philadelphia 76ers and why they're losing. God made them the way they are. There's nothing they can do about it. Yeah, so just to be clear. But that said, yeah, I have to go with the Brooklyn Nets in this circumstance. I like the adjustment that Giannis Antetokounmpo did, which was basically, I'm going to put 2 feet in the paint every chance I get. I'm going to abandon the three-point shot. But when I look at how Milwaukee has won games, not just Game 6, but in this series, they've won it simply by outworking and out-efforting the Brooklyn Nets. And they've done that with the energy of their home crowd. They're not going to have that in Brooklyn. Game 6, they outscored the Nets 26-4 in fast break points. Just about every other category in terms of scoring was equal. And so are they going to be able to bring that same kind of energy in Brooklyn? They haven't demonstrated to this point. And I would fully expect a Game 7 to be a close possession-by-possession game. And if it comes down to that, then it comes down to who do I trust more making a last-second shot? Chris Middleton, Giannis Antetokounmpo, or Kevin Durant? And I got to go with easy money sniper.
I like the takes, fellas, but y'all know where I stand. The Bucks, I am sure and confident, will win this game for one, two, and three reasons. The first, again, y'all know I believe in this, the law of averages. Bucks shot 38% from three all season long. They've shot 28% from three in this series. The Bucks are collectively due to shoot lights out. I think it happens in game seven. Jrue Holiday is not going 1-for-10 from three. I understand Joe Harris has been sloppy as well, but the Bucks are going to show up, and I think they will shoot lights out. That will handle things. The second reason, it's time to check under the hood, y'all. You keep a car for long enough, you better start to check under the hood. Why is the car pulling? What's up with the engine? Is it all good? Kevin Durant has played 246 minutes this series, significantly more minutes than he has ever played in a series over the age of 30. The next closest, 217, when the Warriors played the Clippers. That matters. Remember, Kevin Durant had 32 last night, but he had 32 on 30 shots. He had 49 the game before. 49 on 23 shots. Kevin Durant got his, but he had to work a lot harder to do it. And the last reason is this. I think I would always rather have three lotto tickets than one lotto ticket, even if that lotto ticket also playing the Powerball. I do like Kevin Durant, and obviously I love Kevin Durant, but give me the chance of Middleton, Giannis, or Jrue getting hot over just the idea that Kevin Durant's going to give you another 45-plus. Give me the Bucks, baby, and I'm going to come back talking about Giannis, Ugo. Antetokounmpo. Coming up, I'll tell you how confident we are in the Clippers.
Yeah, buddy.
In our first conference finals. That's next.
Speak for yourself.
Put me in the game, coach. Put me in.
My Clippers can advance to the conference finals for the first time. Yeah, for the first time, y'all. But they need to beat the Jazz tonight, right here in L.A. Kawhi Leonard is out, but Paul George has scored over 30 points in three straight games. Acho had to go, so get ready to watch my Clippers. Me and Slick Rick are in the house. And Slick, are you confident my team will reach their first ever conference finals tonight?
I am, Celis. I've said it, and it's been a growing confidence. I know you started at 100. I probably started at 75, 80, 85. And one of the last tests for me was, can they win in Utah? Because we hadn't seen Paul George and Kawhi Leonard do that against these Utah Jazz in a Clippers uniform. Paul George was able to do it without Kawhi Leonard. And so I've seen how they play in L.A. against these Utah Jazz, against a Donovan Mitchell who's playing on a bad ankle, and especially the way they lost in Game 6. I think this is the distinction. If it was a matter of we were relying on Paul George to close out the Utah Jazz, then there still might be a reason for a little bit of nervousness because that's how they approached it in the bubble. Let's go ISO. Let's ride Kawhi. Let's ride Paul George. Let's see if they can bring us home. That didn't work against the Denver Nuggets. Didn't work three times against the Denver Nuggets. But this is a different Clippers team. Seven different guys hit a three in game five. Seven different guys logged an assist. And overall, they shot better than 50%. That tells me that the ball is moving. That tells me that they are sharing the responsibility. And meanwhile, even though Ivica Zubac only played, 8 minutes and only contributed two rebounds, they won the rebounding battle. And Rudy Gobert did not have a single blocked shot. That tells me that they have figured out the formula to get this done. And it's not depending just on Paul George. Paul George's greatest contribution is what he has done on the boards, his effort, and leading their collective defense. And that is a formula that I just don't believe that the Utah Jazz have an answer for. I say, Marcellus, you're going to the game.
Yes.
Get a car service because you're going to have reason to celebrate. And I imagine you're going to have some libations by the third quarter. The fourth, you're going to be kicking back and enjoying it. So make sure somebody else is driving.
Oh, man, it's going to be a hydration situation. But I am taking little MJ, so Biscuit going to be there. My five-year-old boy, he got so pumped. I said, we're going to the game tonight. He said, Clippers? I said, yeah. So I'm going to be good and calm. I'm going to be PG.
when I'm at the game. But after that game, I'm going to drop a little bad butt off, and I'm about to get lit because we are winning tonight. And I like the fact that you pointed out the defense of Utah. Look at this. Defensive player of the year three times, Rudy Gobert. Y'all gave up 118-plus in the last three games. Problem. We figure these boys out, and that's without Kawhi. So I'll take one star player in, one star player out, versus what Utah is trying to do, a game-time decision and one questionable. Not enough. And Jordan Clarkson, I don't know where you've been. That's it for us. Have a great weekend. Fox Bet Live is next. Clip City 2!